Well, good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for February 9th, 2014. Koyo Kubose here. So very glad you joined us. February has a lot of holidays. The month of February is Black History Day, Black History Month, President's Day, Lincoln and Washington. Of course, we have Valentine's Day coming up pretty soon. For Buddhists in the Mahayana school, February 15th is Gautama Buddha's, what is called Pali Nirvana Day, the day that of his passing away. And as I thought about February 14th, February 15th, see, Valentine's Day celebrates love, and February 15th commemorates Gautama Buddha's death. So the themes of love and death occur right in the middle of the month. How might these two themes be integrated to give us a teaching? And I thought about, you know, to truly love another, you have to die unto yourself. And I was thinking of O. Henry's short story, Gift of Magic. This is a story of a young couple recently married and so much in love, and they were having a rough time financially, struggling. And here it was, Christmas Eve, and they were wondering what kind of gift they could get or afford to give each other. And as the story goes, the young wife, she had long hair. She was very proud of her beautiful hair. The husband, he really liked his watch, family heirloom, beautiful watch. And when many times when they're walking down the street and they're seeing them going past the storefronts, they saw things like a very beautiful comb and brush set, you know, inlaid handles. And the husband thought to himself, gee, that would be the perfect gift for my wife. She loves her and her hair so much. And the wife, meantime, you know, knew how much that the watch meant to her husband, and it deserved a nice watch chain instead of the leather string that was on it now. And she saw this nice silver platinum watch chain in the window. How could they afford such Christmas gifts for each other? Well, as the story goes, the wife walked past a barber shop where there was a little sign that says, "We buy hair." So she went in and had her long hair cut off. And she got money to buy a nice watch chain. In the meantime, the husband didn't know how to get some money to buy the comb and brush set, so he hawked his watch. He said, "Well, I can get it back when things get better, times get better." And then Christmas Day, they gave each other their gifts and they opened them up and they realized what happened. She had sold her hair, and then, but she received this comb and brush set. He had hawked his watch and he got this really nice watch chain. Very typical O. Henry twist right at the end there. But to give up oneself to see the world, you know, become one with your loved one. Okay. This is, or mother's love, a lot of times we talk about, you know, it's selfless. And that's the beauty of it. Okay. Where you die unto yourself, you truly love one another. If someone really loves someone else and the love is not returned, their love might turn to hate. They say, well, if you act that way toward me, then I don't love you anymore. Well, that's not deep love in the first place, okay, with some conditions or strings attached. We ought to think about this when, well, love within a family, when we start to, our mentality starts to shift toward keeping score or, you know, economic model of assets and liabilities and, you know, as my father used to say, and he used to give this advice when he did the wedding ceremonies, he'd give advice to the couple and talk about patience and so forth. But the arithmetic of love is not 50, I get 50%, you get 50%, and that makes 100%. No. The Buddhist way of oneness of love is that I give 100%, you give 100%, and that equals 100%. Yes, indeed. Well, today's guest to give us a Dharma glimpse is Roberto-san of Florida, and he's part of our current LM6 group. That's down the home stretch, and we'll be receiving their induction ceremony here at Course Gold in May. You know, when we turn around the new year and we get into February and then pretty soon March, whoa, it's right around the corner. Wow. And Roberto-san's been a very productive member of the LM6 group. And so we're looking forward to his Dharma glimpse.
Oh, hello, everybody, and welcome to Dharma Sunday. You know, part of what one does, or supposed to do at least, as a minister, is reaching out to people and meeting people and listening, really, a lot to what people have to say. So this is something that impacted me quite a bit, and I think you'll understand as I continue. Hello. That's the first thing he said to me, is hello. And this person and I shook hands. And I remember looking down at his hand and seeing how frail and weak it was. And as I continued to look at him, very softly he said, my name is Jose. I answered back, you know, my name is Roberto. Hi, how you doing? How you feeling today? And he said to me, well, not too bad for a dead man. And I stood there in silence, and I just looked at him. I said, really? You look alive to me, so how could you say you're a dead man? How is that possible? He turned to me, and he said, you know, the doctor told me I have a short time left to live. Oh, I said, yeah, a few years back, I had been given a kind of a diagnosis similar, but I'm still here. And he kind of shook his head and he said, no, you don't get it. And I said to him, okay, well, can you explain it to me? And he said, yeah, I've lived a really messed up life. I'm a drug addict. I'm a thief. I've even robbed people at knife point. And now, well, now I have AIDS. I didn't say very much as he said this to me, and we were outside, actually, in a park environment. And I remember sitting down next to him as he continued to talk to me and tell me all about the things that he regretted doing and the things he was sorry for. And the last thing he said to me that, and now to top everything off, I'm homeless. And I remember sitting there listening quietly. His cousin had actually sought me out and asked me if I could speak with him. So I knew a little bit about him and his situation. Again, once more, as my eyes were kind of traveling around and looking at him, I noticed how thin he was, you know, from the devastating effect that this disease can have on someone. And he had sores, and his hands were trembling. And he looked down at the ground, and he said, "You know I deserve this for all the things that I've done, but I'm afraid of when that time comes and I have to leave this punishment. I'm afraid of the never-ending punishment, like, you know, that's what's written in the Bible," he said to me. I looked in his eyes, and I reached in my pocket for my wallet and took out a $5 bill. And I showed it to him. I said, "Do you know what this is?" As I held out the $5 bill with my two hands, he said, "Yeah, it's a $5 bill." And he cocked his head kind of to an angle as if saying, "Yeah, so get to the point." Well, I took the $5 bill and I balled it up in my hands and I threw it down on the floor and I began to step on it and rub it in the dirt with my feet. And when I was sure it was nice and dirty and icky, I picked it up and I held that filthy, crumpled bill in my hand. And I asked him, "Would you like to hold this bill?" And he looked at me and he said, "Nah, I don't think so," he said. I then stretched out the bill, cleaned it off a little bit. And I said, "You know, because this $5 bill is wrinkled and dirty does not mean it does not have value. The dirt and the creases on it never diminish the value of this $5 bill. Wherever you can go, you can do something with it. And even though you yourself might have done things which we would say are not positive, you know, which may have even brought suffering to others, the value of your life is not diminished by the things you have done. Your worth is still the same, and it's very valuable. Heaven does not care how much you messed up or thought of punishment or, you know, or what will happen to you when you die." And I said to him, "You know, that shouldn't be your concern right now. Your only concern, I think, should be living your true worth now and here in this place. And this is, I think, what you should focus on." He looked at me and he put his head down and very softly said to me, "Do you believe in reincarnation?" And I said, "Well, I really don't have an opinion one way or another about reincarnation, you know." And he said, "Because I sometimes think about it, and I'm wondering if, as some people have told me, that because of the things that I've done, will I come back as an insect or keep coming back into a crappier and crappier environment?" And I said to him, I said, "You know what? If that's what you think," I said, "then avoid all those things. And really, just try to be good to yourself and to others." And I said to him again, "You know, there's a lot of things in this world that we really don't understand, like how and when we appear together in a certain place. But don't count on the future because it's not here. What's here is what we're doing now." So then he said to me, "Well, what am I to do? You know, how am I to comport myself? Well, what am I supposed to do?" And I said to him, "You know, live like there's no tomorrow. And he looked at me, he said, Father, I said, yeah. Live like there is no tomorrow. There isn't any future. The only thing that you can do is live right now, every day, as if this was your last day. And think about the things that you could do to help yourself and to forgive yourself for all those things that you were just talking about. And like this bill that I'm holding in my hand, your value will never diminish as long as you do good. Nothing can take it away. The value is here. The value is always there. And he began to cry, and I put my hands out, and I stayed there with him for a while, not speaking, just sitting there. And that brings me kind of to the point. You know, my friends, there are a lot of people right now who have kind of swept this AIDS epidemic under the rug, but there are many people in this world who still suffer from this disease. And many of them are probably right in your own backyard. All people really want is for someone to care. And I remember a quote from the Buddha saying to his followers, help those who are sick, for if you don't, who will tend to you when you are ill? You know, there are a lot of people who we need to be mindful of. So please, let us not forget those who need help. And I wish peace and light to all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Indeed, indeed. Skillful means. You know, in Buddhism, how the Buddha taught was just as important, if not more important than what he taught. And when you cover the biography of the Buddha's life, there are stories about how he interacted with different people. He said always, he was a master communicator. He didn't speak above people's heads, but he went down to wherever they were, and he could really communicate. There is the term upaya, or skillful means, and that is a very dominant and very important concept of teaching Buddhism, where not only skillful in dealing with other people, but being skillful with oneself. And I don't think we stress this enough, or encourage it enough, or nurture it enough as part of spiritual practice. You know, skillful means. Because if you rely on sectarian rituals or things, which are great, but you've got to make them your own. You have to breathe your own life into it. Yes, you can modify it a little way. Sometimes just a slight modification makes a big difference. And I think that the temples and centers and schools of Buddhism should be secure enough to not just tolerate, but to encourage creativeness for individuals to feel the freedom and to feel, you know, that not only is it all right, but it's encouraged to personalize and make the practices their own. When you think about the term dead man, I'm a dead man, you know, how do you infuse life into a dead man? I'm reminded of one of our LM5 members. He also lives in Florida. And he was very active in the Soto Event Center of Atlanta. He went through our program. And I know part of his life story is that he got very advanced cancer. And he was struggling with this, of course, doing all that's medically possible. But he also said he was chanting the Heart Sutra every morning. He was doing spiritual practices to help him maintain a positive attitude. He went to a Zen teacher, and of course he's concerned about his illness and it's dominant in his consciousness, and he shared this with the Buddhist teacher. He said, "I'm dying." And he tells a story that the teacher responded, when were you not dying? And then the student said, no, I'm really dying. You know, I have very late stage cancer. This really impacted, this experience really impacted this student. And although it was hard to process at the time, the more he thought about it, the more it matured into a really fruit of a teaching. It's a whole different perspective. When were you not dying? You know, because as soon as you were born, we start dying. Life and death are not such discrete opposites of things. It's a continuous process, not denounced, but that's why you should think of life / death, two sides of the same coin. Well, sometimes I remember there was a minister's joke where they, when they fill out, someone passes away and they have to fill out a death information sheet, put the name, and then there's different blanks to be filled in. And under cause of death, when the minister put birth. And this is a very insightful perspective about this oneness of, or non-dualism of reality. Life and death are not two separate, opposite things. They're completely integrated together. They cannot be one without the other. As soon as we're born, we're starting to die. The topic of the phrase, the dead man, I also thought about the movie with Susan Sarandon and I think Sean Penn, where, you know, it was a lady who helped inmates who were on death row. And, you know, as we learn when we watch that movie and so forth, there's a phrase that the prison personnel, with how they describe what's going on when the death row inmates are being prepared and for the electric chair or lethal injection, and they go to the, and they are taken to that room, and they let everybody know, dead man walking. Is that an interesting phrase? Well, we ought to get the feedback of a great teaching that we're also a dead man walking. And I think to reach that, when this person that was described by Roberto, he came to the bottom, who refers to himself as a dead man, he's at the bottom of his life. And what a tremendous opportunity to rise up. You're on the bottom. Now you can rise up. So if we realize, when will we not dying, or that we are dead men walking, then let's walk. Let's walk right now. Nobody's going to live forever physically, but we do have right now. Well, that's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, keep walking, and you have a very beautiful Sunday. Thank you.